medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the JDE Connection. I'm Chandra Wapshal, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes. And with me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle.
Well, this is episode zero, as we tagged it. What are we going to cover today?
In today's episode, we wanted to take some time to tell our audience a little bit about us, why we're here, why we think this podcast is a good idea, and what sort of topics we plan to cover in future episodes. With that, why don't you go ahead, Paul, and tell us a little bit about yourself?
I currently lead JD Edwards Product Development. I've been with JD Edwards now for 26 years. I started off as an application developer back in 1997 in manufacturing, and then spent several years, half a dozen or more, developing in various modules, sales order entry, configurator, ETO, grower contracts, blend, what have you. Eventually, I made it into management. And like you, I then eventually transitioned to the dark side. So I moved into tools and took over Tools Foundation, as well as the PSR, which is the Performance Stability and Reliability team, in 2014. So before I go too far, yes, I did just refer to tools as the dark side. It's a joke. It's an inside joke within, you know, the development team. We have applications, we have tools. Tools has always been known as the dark side. So, you know, I know there's going to be tools developers out there and former management out there that's probably hating on me right now, but I'll own it. It's all right. I'm okay. I also wanted folks to know that I did graduate Colorado State University with a degree in computer information systems. For those not familiar with a CIS degree, it is a business degree, and you take all the standard business courses, so accounting, sales, finance, marketing, even manufacturing. And then you also take a series of development classes, so you learn how to program in hopes that you can understand business requirements, be able to talk to end users in those spaces and be able to translate them or interpret them into actual technical requirements where you can go design and develop solutions. So that's a little bit about me and my background. Chandra, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Unlike you, I have not been with my company for 26 years. I've been with Brightview for just over 2 years as a senior business analyst. I graduated from college with a degree in accounting, so I am a recovering accountant, as I call myself. I progressed through the accounting jobs, if you will, up that accountant ladder. And around 2006, I graduated as well with a MBA and continued up moving along in accounting. And as I did that, I got a little bit more technical, especially in the JD Edwards space. So in 2016, I moved to the dark side, IT, as a business analyst. I had found the more technical I became, the more it pacified my inner geek. I spent the last roughly 15 years in JD Edwards. So starting my modules, of course, would be financials. Go figure, as a recovering accountant. Kind of my baby, my background. In addition, I have some manufacturing experience, procurement, sales orders, and more recently, contracts and job cost as well.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned recovering accountant a couple times there, so maybe we'll have to have an episode on exactly what a recovering accountant is, or maybe we'll have to have a panel, because I'm sure there are others out there that would deem themselves recovering accountants, and maybe we can have them on, and they can share their experience, and we can have a little, what would you call it, a little therapy session, if you will, for all the recovering accountants out there in the JD Edwards community.
Absolutely. Those of us that are recovering, we still keep an eye on those T accounts at the end of our transactions. Don't worry.
All right. Well, why don't we tell folks a little bit about what we do outside of work? So they've got our background now on, you know, kind of what brought us here, but they may wonder, you know, what do you guys do outside to try to balance things out, to try to stay sane in this wonderful world of ours?
Well, my number one passion is running. I've been running for a number of years. It's not only a physical outlet for me, it's also a mental outlet. It offers me time and space away from electronics, where I can decompress, I can relax, I could check out, I can listen to a podcast, I could listen to music, or I can just process through either a personal or a work issue. There's been so many times where I've come back from a run, I'm an early morning runner, where I've come back and I've been like, oh, I'll hop on my computer right away because I've figured out what the issue was that I was trying to solve for, which I absolutely love. In addition, I was a fitness instructor part-time for 12 years and still enjoy working out quite a bit. So I do write my own workouts, just don't write them for clients anymore. I also enjoy yoga. I was introduced into sailboat racing back in 2008. I've been a sailboat racer since then. A friend of mine in grad school had introduced me to that. And more recently, my hobbies include agility with my rescue dog, Rita. On top of that, I volunteer with Quest. I have been on the financial SIG board since 2018, most recently serving as president. I am also now on the Quest board of directors, and I volunteer as a treasurer for my yacht club.
Wow. So free time is not something you're necessarily familiar with, or if you do see free time, it seems like you fill it quickly.
I don't sit still well.
You mentioned Rita, and she is a rescue. So a couple questions. One is, what breed is Rita?
Rita is a mixed breed. She is primarily cattle dog, which is a herding dog, but she has a mix of border collie, German shepherd, and chow chow.
Wow, that's a heck of a combination. Now, with the herding breeds, I have a rescue as well who has some blue heeler. And I know we found that they have to have a job, or they are terror in the house if they do not have a job. Was the same thing with Rita?
Absolutely. Rita's job, in addition to agility, is running. She's my running partner. Mm-hmm. She definitely, as long as she has both of those activities, which stimulate her both mentally and physically, she's a wonderful dog. Wonderful dog. But you definitely notice if she doesn't get a run or a very long walk or some brain activity during the day.
Well, understanding how much you do run, what's the max distance that Rita's ever gone?
Rita has her longest run yet is 16 miles. So she runs. Yes, she's a workhorse. She's a very good runner.
Well, I hope to one day reach Rita's level. I only started running back in May. I am new to this sport, but I have definitely fell in love with it. I am not there yet. 16 would be a great goal for 2024. Perhaps I'll build up to that level one day that Rita's at.
Absolutely. Slow and steady when it comes to increasing mileage. Don't want to get injured.
Yeah, it's a little counterintuitive when they say you have to go slow to go fast. I'm still battling with that in my head. I haven't quite gotten there yet.
That took me a while as well. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of your hobbies, assuming you have hobbies outside of work?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure, you know, it may be disappointing to customers as well as my boss to find out I do anything but JD Edwards 24/7. But yes, I do have a few hobbies that help me balance work and life. They include fly fishing, golf, poker. There were several of us at JD Edwards that started a poker club roughly 17 years ago. And it's still going strong. And we have members, you know, many members both inside and outside the JD Edwards community now, but many of those JD Edwards members are no longer necessarily with Oracle. They've moved on to other jobs, but, you know, we stay connected because, as we know, JD Edwards has its own culture, its own community, and we love it. One other area that I've explored in the last decade was Kenpo Karate. So I got into martial arts way back when I was in middle school, but was way too busy with other sports to keep up with it. And my parents actually told me I had to make a choice once I got to high school what I was going to do because I had too many activities. So I ended up dropping martial arts at that time. But once I got through college and started my JD Edwards career and then, you know, had kids of my own, they got to an age where they wanted to start doing martial arts. At least one of them did. And I decided that I would pick it back up. And so I've been doing Kenpo Karate now for 11 years. And I've been instructing probably about 3 or 4 years now. So I really do get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
So for those that aren't familiar, what is Kenpo Karate?
Oh, it's a branch of martial arts that combine, you know, three other disciplines. So that's Chinese Kung Fu, it's karate, and obviously, and then also jujitsu. So it's a combination of those three arts, and it really is a fighting style. We focus on the self-defense aspect of it and street fighting, to be fair. So that's a little bit about what Kenpo is.
Well, we've talked a little bit about ourselves, so let's talk a little bit about why we're here and why do we think this podcast is a good idea?
Very recently, we've received a lot of feedback from the community regarding, you know, the number of business analysts in our community and how to train them, how to identify folks and inspire folks to become business analysts, as well as, you know, what resources are available to basically educate them and cultivate them. You know, when you came to me with this idea of having a podcast to about J.D. Edwards and to share education material and information about resources and engage the community, I thought, you know, perhaps this was a great way for us to help fill the gap out there. That's why I'm here. One, you asked me to. I thought it was a great idea. And, you know, there's definitely a need that I thought that this could fill.
Ready to accelerate your JDE skills and knowledge? Join Paul and me and the rest of the J.D. Edwards community at Blueprint 4D in Dallas, Texas, May 7th through the 10th, 2024.
Get the latest Oracle updates, learn about new customer innovations, and dive into hot topics like Release 24, enterprise automation, orchestrations, personalizations, extensibility, and more. To register, visit questoraclecommunity.org/blueprint4D. But why don't you tell us why are you here? Why do you think it's a good idea?
Learning to become a BA was a challenge. J.D. Edwards is a very robust system, very robust ERP system, and learning about it was challenging. Yeah, there's resources, but locating, finding them, leveraging, knowing what to use when, it felt very overwhelming. And as such, I want to share what I've learned over the course of the years and hoping others are going to be willing to share with us as well. It's one of the reasons I enjoy presenting at conferences, is I enjoy sharing, even if I did learn a hard lesson along the way. And yeah, I definitely have had one or two of those. In addition to that, I'm hoping we are going to be able to share the passion that we have within the community. J.D. Edwards users are very passionate people about their ERP system. On top of that, I'm hoping we can educate and inspire future BAs, knowing it's not as scary as you might think, and that there are people out there to help you and support you as you make that transition to a BA.
Yes, I can imagine sifting through the myriad of resources that are available out there. And when you're first introduced to J.D. Edwards and exposed to J.D. Edwards, and trying to locate those resources and understand and decipher those resources can be incredibly intimidating. And to your point, you know, perhaps through this podcast, we'll be able to expose folks to other people in the community and what they're and through their experience, maybe make it easier on folks to make that transition, but also motivate and inspire. Absolutely. So, you know, another question that folks may have is why a podcast format? There are a lot of other formats that we could have chosen. There are a lot of other ways in which we could have tried to, say, fill that gap of education or meet that educational need. Why did we choose a podcast? And you've got some unique views on this, so I wanted you to ask you specifically, why did you pick a podcast format?
Well, the podcast format appeals to a wide demographic. There are a lot of people that consume podcasts, myself included, both as a learning tool, but also as entertainment, which I hope we can be a little bit of course, educational and learning, but fun as well, having some fun with it. Your traditional online learning doesn't always incorporate that fun. It can be a little bit more structured, and having some fun while you learn is good. It's easier to reinforce when you're having fun with it. And according to the Google machine, 62% of people over the age of 12 consume a podcast on a weekly basis, averaging around 9 podcasts per week. I am a podcast consumption person as well. Maybe not quite 9, but some of the podcasts I listen to are a little bit on the longer side. And I thought it would be fun for us to try something new since this doesn't really exist within our community. So something fun and exciting where it's outside of the formal education route and might meet some different learning styles as well.
That's a great point regarding, you know, duration. There are podcasts out there, and given that we're doing an educational podcast, people might be concerned that, you know, this podcast is going to be, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours long.
I wouldn't want to listen to us that long.
No, I don't. No, thank you. No offense, but no.
No.
So we were thinking, just to be clear, so everybody understands, we're thinking about doing this in a 30 minutes or less format. And yes, we're going to have some topics that are pretty in-depth and pretty broad. So they may span more than one episode. That's just what we'll do. But speaking of topics, you and I brainstormed several based on a day in your life and those things that would be beneficial in somebody in your role with your responsibilities. We then went to the BA SIG at InFocus and solicited ideas from them. And man, did we get a long list of potential topics from that group. And then, of course, we've got friends and colleagues in this space, too, that we like to pick their brains, and they gave us some ideas. Now, we don't have to do the exhaustive list today, but we should probably at least expose folks to what they're liable to hear, you know, over the course of the next several months as we release episodes. So while we start with, you know, what's coming next and probably our first episode following this one, and why don't you tell them what it'll be?
Yeah, our first episode is What is a BA? You know you're a BA when... ... Many of us don't even realize that we are BAs. Our title might not say business analyst, but a lot of the tasks that we do are really business analyst-specific tasks. So just covering that, letting people know that this is what you're doing and, you know, a little bit of the why surrounding that. Now, we're not excluding our developer or CNC, you know, friends. We definitely want to incorporate topics for them in future episodes as well.
A topic that does apply to your developers, your CNCs, your business analysts, your end users, pretty much anybody using JD Edwards. I think the number one thing that you have to start with is the JD Edwards lingo. Let's be fair. You know, JD Edwards is very codified, if you will. There are a lot of codes within the JD Edwards software, but whenever you hear any of us talk about JD Edwards, you'll hear us use these three-letter acronyms left and right. We sling them out all over the place. And there seems to be a never-ending list of three-letter acronyms. And it continues to grow, to be fair. So we figure we better expose everybody to the JDE lingo. So, you know, when they go to their first conference, they'll actually be able to interpret what we're all talking about when we're speaking with one another.
I know. I wish I had a cheat sheet when I first started, because man alive, that was a challenge. So I'm looking forward to us being able to lay this out for people. One of the other topics we're going to cover is a day in the life. We're going to talk about the various hats that BAs wear. They do everything from, of course, defining user requirements, troubleshooting and supporting users. They might be doing some project management. They might be doing some training. They might be wearing some other hats as well. So we just want to cover a little bit about what they might do and discover how it might be different from BA to BA.
Different from BA to BA. I mean, this is a great opportunity for us to potentially get a panel of business analysts in and really just share amongst the group what they do on a daily basis, because I'm guessing not everybody's exactly the same. You know, there'll be some overlap. There's some obviously common flavors, if you will, but everybody's probably a little bit unique in, you know, what their authority is. Can they do security? Can they not do security? Can they actually do SQL queries to the database and delete a bunch of records? That's never happened, I'm sure. But anyway,
never.
It would be fun. It would be fun to get a group together. And again, to help everybody relate with one another and what this role is and what the various responsibilities could be. Another topic that continued to come up specifically within, you know, the BA SIG and those involved in the business analyst SIG, they continued to mention this idea of understanding the feature functionality within JD Edwards. I think, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but many times leadership will come along and ask, does JD Edwards do this or can JD Edwards do this, right? And you need to be able to answer that question. Now, either you need to be able to answer it because, hey, that's right up your alley and that's in your you know, that's in the module that you know best. It's in financials, or you know enough broadly enough, you know, at a high enough level about, you know, the key capabilities and all the core areas to be able to answer that question, which we hope to expose you to, or you know what resources to leverage to actually go find that answer out. Because I think it is very, very important that when you get that question, before you go off and try to solve that with, let's say, a third party bolt on piece of software, you should know whether or not JD Edwards actually does what they need it to do.
In order to know that, I got to know there's so many resources out there. Like we said earlier, what are they? Where do I find them? When do I use what? You've got Learn JDE. You've got, here's our first three-letter acronym of the day, MOSS, My Oracle Support. You have Quest, which is a great resource. Definitely want to encourage people to connect and join one of the special interest groups, or more of the special interest groups for that matter. You've got product catalogs. You've got forums. You've got conferences. You've got vendor-sponsored webinars. There's just so many things out there. Being able to decipher what they are, where do I find them, and when do I use them?
You also have other tools within JD Edwards. Sometimes JD Edwards doesn't quite do exactly what you needed to do, or doesn't behave exactly how you want it to behave, because it just doesn't fit how you want your users to interact with the system. We've tried to provide a bunch of no-code, low-code tools to help you basically tailor JD Edwards to meet those sorts of needs. There's Cafe One, there's Orchestrator. Yes, we have an orchestrator. There's logic extensions, there's personalizations, there's this thing called Workflow Modeler, as well as E1 Pages and E1 Search. I mean, there are so many tools available to you. Not only do we want to expose you to what they can do and high level how to use them, but also share some of the practical application out there. There are a lot of folks out there in the community that have really put these tools to amazing use, and we want to expose those use cases to folks to try to generate ideas. You never know, you know, that you know what sort of ideas will pop out of your head when you get exposed to more and more information and more use cases.
And as you're using those tools, sometimes you have to troubleshoot because there's issues, Paul.
It's not perfect software, I admit.
For the record, he admitted it, folks. And with that, we want to cover some of those topics on how best to troubleshoot issues that you might run into, all the way down into maybe log reading and code analysis. I'm definitely not an expert in either of those, and I'm looking forward to learning more about both of those. Query writing. Definitely working on that as well, continue to as I progress throughout my BA career. But when I have issues, how do I track them? Am I using a ticketing system, or am I just using email? Or is there some combination there that you're using? And maybe even, how does your company report metrics on your tickets? Do you use the same system to also roll out your projects if you're making a process improvement?
Now, you mentioned troubleshooting, and so many times when you are involved in chasing down an issue, you find yourself at a point where you need to engage other actors, you know, within the business, whether or not that is your CNC or your developers, to help you actually nail down root cause. You mentioned projects, and many times you may find yourself needing to engage consultants to try to finish a project, to try to progress a project. Also, end users. Obviously, you have to be able to engage the business to understand what their needs are, to get buy-in for some of the process improvements that you want to roll out, to get them exposed to some of the capabilities that they may not even know are possible. So they don't know to ask for what they don't know exists. How do you engage these folks in an effective manner? And then when you do want to roll things out, how do you engage leadership? It's important to understand how to approach your management and how to start to make these business cases for things like digital transformation or a new code current strategy or continuous adoption strategy, or as I mentioned before, process improvement. Being able to articulate that ROI to upper management to get approval is really, really key to success. And we hope to have several episodes where we expose you to different strategies for how to do that.
Wow. That's a fair number of episodes. As we mentioned earlier, some of those may span more than one. They may become more of a series, obviously, as we go a little bit more in depth on a number of those. I can't imagine trying to cover the finance module in 30 minutes. Ready, set, go.
Yes, for those that listen to their podcasts at 1.5 or 2 times speed, that one might be a little bit fast.
Well, hopefully some of those topics resonated with our listeners. And if so, we hope that they'll join us next time as we talk about what a BA does, how to know if you're a BA, and maybe discuss some of the skills and attributes that make a good BA.
And to find out more about the JDE Connection podcast with Chander and myself, please check out questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection. And remember to like and subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcast.
Thanks for joining us today, folks. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
Join us in our upcoming episode where Chander and I dive into what it truly means to be a JD Edwards business analyst. Are you one without realizing it? Discover the different types of BAs and the various hats they may wear as they context shift from interpreter to project manager to troubleshooter to trainer. This episode offers a comprehensive look into the BA position and the critical role it serves in the success of the organization. Plus, don't miss our Midwestern touch, as Chander and I have some fun along the way, educating our audience on a versatile expression that perfectly encapsulates the day in the life of a BA.